Chapter 9. Personal Jesus. The end of the Johnny Cash Show marked the beginning of the most intensely evangelical period of Cash's life. His previous acts of spiritual rededication often appeared more motivated by a need to survive than an unselfish desire to serve God. When his life was falling apart, it seemed that, as a last resort, he would turn to the teachings of Christ in the hope that he could be restored. Yet, when his situation improved, he gradually forgot his commitments to Christ and would soon find himself back where he started. In the spring of 1971, Cash was nowhere near the end of his tether. His ratings had dropped during the final season of his television show, but he was still a huge international star, gaining celebrity status akin to John Wayne or Muhammad Ali. The previous year, his movie career had been revived when he'd starred with Kurt Douglas in A Gunfight, his first screen role in almost a decade. His marriage to June made him happy, and the birth of his longed-for son reinvigorated him. Earning a reputed $3 million a year, he lived in a custom-built, luxurious home surrounded by 146 acres of land and had purchased a home nearby for his parents. Apparently now able to offer forgiveness, Cash treated his father with loving care, visiting him daily when he was off the road and always remembered to dedicate songs to him in concert. I've heard it said that he mistreated his children and have read what Dad said in his book. But I never heard my father say one negative word about my grandfather, says Tara. I never saw him treat him with anything other than complete, devout respect. I think that he had a lot of struggles and showed a lot of anger before Jack died. But my father always said that after that, he turned his life around and was a changed man. Cash's commitment to church had always waxed and waned. Often when he was on the road, he would creep into the back of a church on a Sunday morning, and when he was home in Tennessee, he'd visit different churches in Hendersonville and Madison, hoping to find somewhere that he felt comfortable. As someone with such a recognizable profile, he faced an added challenge. If word got out that he attended a particular church, songwriters and unsigned singers would interrupt his worship to hand him demo tapes. As an adult, he had always felt slightly uncomfortable with collective worship. By nature, he enjoyed solitary activities, shooting, fishing, walking, reading, riding, climbing, observing, and he preferred equally solitary methods of worship. He enjoyed praying and meditating alone or reading the Bible and works of theology at home in his book-lined study off the master bedroom. His great theological sparring partner was June's dad, Ezra Eck Carter, who similarly enjoyed studying the Bible alone and rarely went to church. As Cash once said, "I find my church in my heart, because sometimes I just can't drag my body into one." Cash had known Jimmy Snow since the mid-1950s when he was a performer on the same circuit as Elvis. The son of Hank Snow, Jimmy ended up with a recording deal with RCA, but his career derailed when his addiction to alcohol and amphetamines dropped his weight from 150 pounds to 117 pounds. In 1958, at the age of 22, he underwent a Christian conversion, abandoned his show business career, and became a full-time preacher for the Assembly of God. CBS filmed him preaching a fire and brimstone sermon against the evils of rock and roll, and the clip is still used in documentaries to illustrate the Christian reaction to what many at the time considered to be the devil's music. Cash and Snow became reacquainted in 1969 when their paths crossed at Saigon Airport, and later during the taping of the Johnny Cash Show at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, where Snow became a familiar figure backstage. By then, he was the pastor of his own church, Evangel Temple, on Dickerson Road in Madison, and had a vision for making a Christian impact on the country music industry. One of his earliest musical recruits was Larry Lee, a songwriter signed to House of Cash. He later persuaded Cash's sister Joanne to join the choir. Because of Joanne, June's 12-year-old daughter, Rosie, started to attend services at the church, and ultimately, so did June and then Cash. The unimposing church impressed Cash with its unconditional love, joy, and unself-conscious worship. As a Pentecostal denomination, the Assembly of God emphasized the more demonstrative spiritual gifts, such as physical healing, prophecy, visions, and speaking in tongues. It also stressed the importance of holy living, discouraging too much close contact with the world. A comparatively recent denomination, it was founded in Hot Springs, Arkansas in 1914, and at one time counted Elvis Presley and Jerry Lee Lewis among its members. Initially, Cash felt uneasy about the differences between the Assembly of God and the Southern Baptists. June, raised in a Methodist church, had similar reservations. In the end, they realized they agreed more than they disagreed with the Assembly of God tenets. Snow came over to Cash's log cabin and prayed with him. "We knelt right there and prayed together," the preacher later said. "When we did, God's Spirit met with us and confirmed the experience we had there. I could really feel God." Snow convinced Cash he would benefit from making his commitment public. He did, at Evangel Temple on May 9, 1971, when Snow made an altar call after preaching a sermon on the responsibility of a father as the spiritual leader of a family. The text was Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." As he had at age 12 and more recently at First Baptist Church at age 35, Cash knelt at the altar, declared that he was sorry for his sins, and promised to endeavor to live a life of obedience to the will of God. June knelt beside him. Later, Snow said, "It is one thing for a public figure to join a church. It is another thing for him to humble himself enough to get down on his knees and crawl and cry in front of a congregation." Cash became noticeably more diligent about his faith. Influenced by Assembly of God teachings that tend to divide activities into either secular or sacred, he began to prioritize gospel promotion over art or entertainment. For a while, it seemed to him that his wealth and fame had been built on the stubble that would be burnt away on the Day of Judgment. What was the value of singing to people about trains and prisons, cotton fields and love gone wrong if they were perched on the edge of hell? Wasn't it an abuse of his power if he neglected to tell his audience about the way of salvation? "I don't have a career anymore," Cash announced. "What I have now is a ministry. Everything I have and everything I do is given completely to Jesus Christ now. I've lived all my life for the devil up until now, and from here on I'm going to live it for the Lord." The most obvious manifestation of this new attitude was the film Gospel Road, a presentation of Christ's life through narration, song, and drama made for the big screen. "He wanted to make it," Cash said, "because I think Jesus was the most misquoted, misread, and misunderstood man in history. People have twisted his words to suit their needs. People also died for him. They died for his words." It was an ambitious and not obviously commercial project, yet when Cash approached Robert Elstrom, who had filmed Johnny Cash, The Man, His World, His Music, to direct it, he had no storyboard. Besides a working title, In the Footsteps of Jesus, all he had was the idea that he would visit locations in Israel connected with Christ's life and deliver lines to the camera in almost the same way that he had composed the Holy Land album. Relevant songs could later be interspersed. He also wanted to dramatize some of the more crucial biblical scenes. Perhaps most importantly, Cash planned to finance it himself, to the tune of $750,000, in order that he could maintain complete artistic control.